Well, I'm glad to be here this morning, and I know you are. It's always good to be gathered together with God's people in the Lord's house and know that He's there. He said, wherever just two or three are gathered together, I'll be in the midst in His name. If you have your Bible this morning, if you will, let's look in the book of 1 Thessalonians. What are you waiting for this morning? You know, a lot of us old men, we're waiting for the hunting season to start. Some people waiting to get their bills all paid up. A lot of things we wait on. And I guess life is full of waiting. But this morning I want to talk to the Christians. And if you're here this morning without Christ, I pray the message will speak to your heart that you too will be waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The book of 1 Thessalonians is on, the main theme of it is the second coming of Jesus Christ. And you know, that's why I'm here this morning, is I know He's coming again. If I didn't believe that, I don't know, I'd just stay at the house, because there's not a real reason to be here if Jesus is not coming back. But He is coming again, and the Bible assures us of that. And I believe the Bible is the Word of God, and God's not going to lie to us. He's going to tell us the truth, and it is the truth. And He tells us in love that when we come to know Christ as a personal Lord and Savior, receive Him as our Savior and Lord, we have a home eternal in the heavens. And that's where we're headed. That's what our life is all about as a Christian, is that we're preparing to go home. And this morning in the book of Thessalonians, we'll begin reading in verse 2. I'd love to preach through the whole book, but read it, because it's for the Christians in these days that we live in, 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians. But Paul said, We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. And from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word, for the power, the authority, and the truth of Your Word. Dear God, we stand today, and we ask You, Lord, to speak to our hearts. Open us, Lord, and help us to be still and sensitive to the Holy Spirit that's in this place. And Lord, that You may work Your wonderful works of grace in the hearts and lives of each of us here today. Some that needs encouragement, some that needs to rededicate their lives, some, Lord, that just need to surrender completely to Your Lordship. Some, Lord, today may need to know Jesus as a personal Lord and Savior. They need that soul-saving experience that comes through knowing Christ as our Lord and Savior. Lord, we thank You today that You are here. And now whatever You have in mind, let it be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. What are you waiting for? Paul said that a Christian today should be waiting for the coming of the Lord, coming of Jesus Christ. And I believe we're getting close to that day. I'm certainly not one that can tell you what day. I know that no one knows what day he's coming, what hour he's coming. But he did give us some signs to show that his coming is near. Jesus said, when you see these things come to pass, look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. So as we look in the book of 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, Paul in that verse said the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 2, verse 19, there's what he said. He said, for what is our hope, our joy, our crown of rejoicing? Are not even you in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Paul had that hang up on the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and so did the Thessalonians in those days. They were under heavy persecution. They were a lot like it is in America today. It's getting to be difficult to talk about our Lord and our faith. It's becoming difficult to preach the whole counsel of God. And so in our day, it's becoming difficult to live that life for Christ. In the third chapter, verse 13, Paul said, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. You know, we've sent a lot of our loved ones on. We've laid them in the ground, but they're with Jesus today. And that's the beauty of our salvation, is to know that when Jesus comes again, he's going to bring those saints with him. He's going to bring them, they're going to rise from the grave, and he's going to give them that glorious body that we too will receive if we happen to be alive on this earth when he comes again. Will be changed in a moment, the twinkling of eye. In the fourth chapter, of course, this one that we love to read about in verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. That we which are alive, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words. And then in the fifth chapter of 1 Thessalonians, in verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so if there's one thing that Christians should be this morning, they should be waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Thessalonians believed, the church, they turned to God from their idols. Nothing held them down. Nothing held them back. They did not weigh themselves down with things of the world. They had turned to God, and they had turned from their... And that's one thing you might need to remember. If you're going to turn from your idols, you have to turn to God first, because you need a strength greater than yourself. We do not have the strength to turn from the things that captures the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We need a power greater than ourselves, and that's the Holy Spirit of God. So we first have to turn to God with all of our hearts. Then we can turn away from these idols. We'll have a power within us that'll cause us to do that. And then it says they turned to God and turned from those idols, and then they begin to serve the living God. They begin to serve the Lord. And that is the precious truth of God's people. And if we're waiting for the Lord to come, we're going to be serving and looking, because that word wait, it's the same as a waiter in a restaurant waiting upon. We're waiting on the Lord. We're serving for the Lord. We're His slave. That's what it means. To be that slave of the Lord Jesus Christ, having Him Lord of my life, and now I'm serving Him, waiting, looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everywhere we read in the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, the 24th chapter, here's what Jesus said in verse 42. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodness, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the third thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be you also ready, for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. Watching and waiting and looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, prepared, serving, that servanthood role of a Christian is what should be you might say the preeminent of our life. What should be the most important thing in the life of a Christian is our service to the Lord Jesus Christ. That His will is completely accomplished in my life, in your life. So Paul is talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, on the great day of atonement, the great high priest, or the high priest, went into the Holy of Holies, not without blood, to sprinkle the mercy seat. And the congregation, which is we're the church today, they waited outside the veil for the high priest to come back out, or to come out. And we as the church today, Jesus Christ, the great high priest, went in behind the veil to sprinkle His own blood. And He's in heaven. He is at the mercy seat of God in heaven at the right hand of God. His blood has been sprinkled for our sins. He is there interceding for each of us. And we're waiting for Him to come back. In the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter, I believe it was last Sunday's lesson, Sunday school lesson, about Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." You see, Jesus is in heaven. We have the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of God, living within us as a Christian. And that Spirit, my Spirit, I know, is getting more hyper every day. I mean, it's just like, "Lord, are you going to burst through the clouds today? I'm ready. Come, Lord Jesus." And I believe that it won't be long. And we need to be ready. We need to be prepared, because the first thing we're waiting on is for His Son from heaven. Philippians 3:20, Paul said, "Our citizenship is in heaven." Christians, we don't live here in this world as citizens. We're here as ambassadors for Christ. We're here as strangers and pilgrims. Once we become a child of God, we become a citizen of heaven. That's where we belong. And we're ambassadors of God here in this world, telling about, talking about, and witnessing our citizenship in heaven and what heaven's all about. Paul said, "Our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." We're not waiting for death. We're all probably going to die if Jesus tarries. Well, I know everybody's going to die sooner or later. But death to a Christian is just closing eyes here and opening them up in the heaven with a, oh, Lord, thank you, in glory. But we're not waiting for death. We're not even waiting for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's already been given. We have the Holy Spirit. And we're not even waiting for the world to be won to the Lord, for Jesus to come back. Because in the days of Noah, certainly the world was not won to God. And neither will it be in when the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, when I come, will I find faith on the earth? That's how bad it's going to get. That's how bad it's getting, that people are turning their backs upon God. People are turning their eyes away from heaven. They're denying the book. They're taking the book. They're taking prayer, communication with God. All of that's being taken away because people do not want to think on the Lord Jesus Christ. But He's coming. But we're not going to win the world. But that should not discourage us, because there are those who are still listening. I believe that with all my heart, that when the last person that's going to receive Christ as their personal Lord and Savior accepts the Lord, that's when Jesus is coming back. But today God is long-suffering, wishing that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. But we're looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we have we're waiting for Jesus to step on the clouds. And so God's people should be motivated today with that hope. The early church, the church at Thessalonica, said they were turned to God from idols. They had turned and served the living and true God to wait for the Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. That's a wonderful truth that Paul wrote in the book of Thessalonians. Because the second thing that we want to talk about this morning is, not only are we waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we're waiting for the completion of our salvation. You say, Jesus said it's finished on the cross. It is. My salvation is complete. But what I have today of my salvation through Jesus Christ is just a down payment. I've been delivered and saved from the penalty of sin through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. If you're a Christian this morning, you have been saved and delivered from the penalty of sin. The penalty of sin is death, eternal separation from God, and the judgment of God upon you. But Paul said in the 8th chapter of Romans, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation, no judgment upon the child of God, those who are in Christ Jesus. The penalty of sin has been dealt with. Our salvation is complete. The power of sin has been dealt with. If you're here this morning, a Christian, and you've fallen into sin and you're living in sin, you have the power to come out of that sin and to turn back to the God that loves you so much and wants you to bless you and to give you all of His blessings. He can turn you from that sin and give you the power to overcome. But it's turning to God before you try to get rid of the sin. Turn to Him with all your heart. The Holy Spirit within you will deliver you and help you to walk out of that sin and wish it well, or wish it away, or whatever you want to wish it. And you receive again, as old David said, oh God, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. If you're in sin this morning and you're a Christian, your joy is gone. We had Sunday school this morning about the joy in temptations. Joy is the product of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is quenched or grieved in us, we've turned away from God and taken things on our own or fallen into sin, we've lost the joy, because the Holy Spirit cannot produce in us what He has brought us, that gift of joy. But the joy comes when we turn to God with all of our heart. The Holy Spirit floods us with joy. And we turn, we have the power. But you know what? We have not been delivered from the presence of sin. Sin is still in the world. Sin is still in me. Sin is still in you. That old flesh is still holding on, fighting you every day. It fights all of us. It wants its way. So we still live in the presence of sin, and that is what we're talking about when Jesus completes our salvation. I'm waiting for that. We still suffer. We still hurt. We still get sick. This creation of God is cursed. It is a fallen creation. The flesh is a fallen creation of God. And so when Jesus comes again through the clouds, Paul said that we which revive and remain shall be caught up together with the Lord in the air. But first of all, he said in 1 Corinthians 15 that we shall be changed in a moment, the twinkling of eye. Flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God. Why? This flesh is cursed. It is sinful. And it needs to be under the control of the Holy Spirit of God. But when Jesus, let's look in Revelation, the 5th chapter, and I'll show you what we are talking about in our salvation completion. Revelation 5. Old John is on the Isle of Patmos, but he's caught up in a vision. He's caught up into heaven. And we'll begin reading about verse 2. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?" Now this book is the book of redemption. God's created universe and everything in it. Paul said in the 8th chapter of Romans that the whole creation groaneth waiting for this. Waiting for to be delivered. We go out yonder today and look at our land and the beauty of God's creation, and we say, oh, how wonderful it is, and yet it's under a curse. And the whole creation groaneth waiting for the adoption. It says here, this, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. In other words, John, stop squalling. That's really what the Greek means. The Greek just said, don't squall anymore, John. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And all you have to do is begin reading Revelations, and you'll see that this book of the completion of our salvation begins to deliver us from the presence of sin. And listen, when you look at all the ungodliness in our world, and those people who are in it and curse and reject our Lord and Savior, pray for them. Love them and pray for them. That's what God's doing. That's what we're to do. Because one of these days, that book's going to be open. That lamb that had been slain, and if you look at it, study the Greek on that, the lamb that is violently slain. The Lamb of God that hung on the cross for our sins and died, that was violently slain for our salvation, took the book. And when He takes that book, all of those who reject and all of those who pronounce God dead and all of those who say there's no such thing all of those who want to live evil and those who hate the light and refuse to come to the light because they love the deeds of their evil deeds. One day, that book's going to be open, and if you start reading the book of Revelation, you'll see those books are the judgments upon sin, upon ungodliness, upon all those who have turned their backs and their hearts away from God. The judgment and wrath of God is going to be poured out. And if you remember what we read a while ago in the book of Thessalonica, that Paul says, this Jesus that God raised from the grave delivered us, Christians, who turned to Christ with all their heart, who gave their life, delivered us from the wrath to come. Because when that book is opened, the wrath of God's going to be poured out upon the earth, and the devil that causes you trouble, the sin that causes you pain and sickness and all of that, God is going to pronounce His wrath upon this evil world. And He's going to deliver us. You see, that's the completion of our salvation. He's going to deliver us completely out of the presence of evil and sin. And you know what the devil, he's going to wind up. I read the last book. I read the last page. The devil is going to be bound and cast into the devil's hell. That's where he's going. No more can he mess with you. He won't be around. He's gone. He's through forever and forever. And if you continue to read the book of Revelations, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ places us into the beauty and wonder of heaven with the Lord forever and ever. Yeah, we're still in the presence of sin. But remember, we have the power to overcome it. Don't live in it. Don't let it take your joy. Be that witness for Jesus Christ. Be ready. Be watching. Be longing for the coming of Jesus Christ. Get your family ready. Everyone that you come in contact, try to prepare them to meet God. Try to get them into the family of God. Plead with them. Do whatever it takes to get them to come to the cross. For we need to be delivered from the wrath to come. We're looking and waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're waiting for the completion of our salvation. And we're waiting. There's so much that I want to talk about this morning, but as the old saying goes, the clock on the wall gets you. But we are waiting for that new heaven and new earth. In the book of 2 Peter, chapter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come. You know, a lot of people are saying, well, I don't believe it's going to happen. I've waited and waited and I've done this and done that, and it just looks like the Lord don't care anymore. But listen, He does. The Lord still loves us with an unspeakable love. The Lord still loves us with a love that you cannot even grasp. You have to receive it from Him. It's that love that Paul said in Romans 5 that while we were yet His enemy, He loved and died for us to pay the penalty of our sins, to pay the penalty, the wrath of God upon our sins. And we hear our Savior in the garden as we read the Gospel of Matthew. We hear Him in the garden, and the Bible says He was sore afraid. He was in such horror. And when you study that, in the Greek, it is such horror that our words, there's nothing to describe the horror that Jesus experienced in the Garden of Gethsemane as He knelt in prayer. The Bible says that His sweat was like great drops of blood falling to the ground. And He was crying. The, the man Jesus was crying, Lord, if it's possible, deliver me from this. Because why? He was taking the horrors of the wrath of God upon sin on himself. Because he had your sins and my sins that he was carrying to the cross. And the cross started in the garden when he said, it's not my will, but your will be done. And it was God's will to deliver us from the wrath to come through his Son, Jesus Christ. I pray that each of you here this morning has been delivered from that wrath. I pray that each of you this morning know what it is to turn to God with all your heart through Jesus Christ and receive him as a personal Lord and Savior, and turn from your little idols and things that takes away the beauty and wonder of our Christ from our hearts. And that you are serving him, a living God, not something out yonder in the grave, but a living God who raised Jesus from the grave, who also will raise you from the grave and give you life eternal. And save us from that wrath to come. Peter said, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. That's why the church can't be comfortable, compromising, and complacent. Because it's coming. And there are so many of our families, so much of our friends, and so many of our neighbors that's not ready for it. And if you're a Christian this morning, we're going to try a revival in the churches in this area. Our town, our city, our communities need those who are burning with the glory of God. Revived in the Holy Spirit of God with the power of God upon their lives, serving the living God out in their communities and their families, telling them about this Savior, this Lord, this Christ. Our lives should be meaningful. Paul said his joy and his crown, his excitement was when he gets to heaven to see those he's brought with him through his life and witness and servant of his Lord. What about you? What's your joy and crown in life? Is it to have those with us that we've loved and those we've known and those we've met standing with us in the glory of heaven? It should be. That should be our joy and our crown and our happiness, is to witness the Christ that lives in us. He's coming. And we should be ready. We should be watching. We should be awake. And we should be witnessing. Peter says in the 11th verse, and I'm closing, I'm about through. Seeing then, that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? The word conversation there means your lifestyle. Are you living a holy lifestyle? One that's set apart for God's service? No matter where you're at, what you're doing, working, doing whatever you do every day, or is your life set apart and separated for the service of God to witness your Christ? That should be our lifestyle, is the Christian lifestyle. Holy, separated, set apart, serving the living God, and being godly. The storms are coming. And we have so many to rescue. But I want to share that with you this morning. Paul felt it necessary to share it with Thessalonica, the church. And it's a message to the church that we need to be workers of faith. Sometimes you serve the Lord and work and it looks like nothing's happening. Just work by faith. Work by faith. In other words, leave it in God's hands. He knows. One of these days you'll be surprised what just one word of encouragement to someone that may be lost will do. Or what, I'll tell you, I had a postman in Florine, Manny, Louisiana, tell me one night, it was in a meeting around Florine there. He was at that meeting. And they called on me to pray, and I don't even know what I said. He didn't tell me. But he said, "Preacher, you said one word in that prayer that convicted me, and I couldn't sleep for weeks till I turned my heart to Jesus." One word. You never know till eternity rolls around what your one word of faith spoken will do in a heart of someone that you're not even aware of. Work of faith and labor of love. Let it be a love flowing in us that the Holy Spirit is producing. The love of God. And that has no limitations, the love of God. It's loving the unlovable. It's loving those who don't even want to be loved. Don't even want to hear what you say. You love them anyway. Because it's labor of love. And that patience of hope in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for Him to shoot through the clouds and shout. And there's no way that a child of God washed in the blood of the Lamb can stand on the earth when He shouts. Because we're going to... Paul said we're going to be caught up. That word in the Greek is harpazo. It means to be caught up or snatched up like a tornado. It's where we get our word rapture. We're going to be raptured out of here. Shoot out of here like a bullet. It's going to happen. In Vietnam, we used to make those jungle takeoffs and landings, and you'd get in there and kick those jet pods in and straight up, shoot out of here. That's nothing compared with the child of God leaving this earth one of these days when the Lord comes again. Paul said it's in the twinkling of an eye it's going to happen. Not the blinking, that's too slow. The twinkling. I don't know your heart this morning, God does, but I want you to know that we need to be excited about what's going on today. God's about to come. And we need to be ready by watching and praying and witnessing and sharing our life for His glory. That we might, like Paul, have that joy and the crown of life that those behind us there stand with us are those we've led to Christ that got saved. It's going to be a day of rejoicing when we all get to heaven. Let's stand. We'll have a word of invitation and a song of invitation. If God speaks to your heart today, if you need to be saved, that same God that Paul spoke of is here this morning. His arms are reaching out to you that you may come to know Him as a personal Lord and Savior. And you can be delivered from the wrath to come and go with the group when we head home. Go with the children of God as we go out of here. We're waiting. Waiting with excitement and motivation to be His children shining in a dark world. Whatever you need this morning, our God's able to meet your needs. If you want to come and publicly make it public, Jesus said, if you deny me, I'll deny you in my Father's house. That's terrible. But he implies that if you accept Him and profess Him before man, He will confess you before the Father, which is in heaven. Amen.